My focus, my message, today is, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. And I want to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2, and Philippians 12. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2, and Philippians 2, 12 through 15. As we are going and we're sharing on the importance of understanding our salvation. And that is my desire here this morning. Here, today is the day of salvation. Father, thank you as we read these scriptures that you will blend our hearts together in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6, 1. We then, as workers together with him. I like that. Isn't that good to know? Beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. And in the day of salvation have I secured you or helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Philippians 2 and 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God, it's the two sides of the coin, it's our responsibility to work out. And I want to help you this morning throughout this year to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh where? In you, both to will and to do, oh, I love this, of his good pleasure. So, do all things without murmurings and disputes, that you may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Seal that to our hearts, Holy Spirit. We are living at the end of the ages. The end of the ages is upon us. If any of you are reflecting on what is happening over in the Middle East, I tell you what, it is all coming together, the finalization of what God had promised would be in the last days. And the Bible tells us we need to look at Jerusalem because they are the key to what God is doing in the earth today. And when we understand the things that have been happening, not only in the world, but right here in our own nation, I have a conviction that this is the grandest time for the Church of Jesus Christ to arise. And we heard what brother, dear brother Seth Lucas shared with us last Sunday. And he shared, I want to help you to know who you are. Okay? And that is very important. Now, the desire of my heart is for you to realize that God said, as my dad has been praying, and I believe that's one of the reasons he's still here, because he said, God, I want to see you pour out your spirit upon all flesh. And I tell you what, I was reading, Dad, your story. And we're getting a bunch of those books. And when I began to read, and again, how God worked here within this church, at the start of over 60 years ago, really, I start, and how God just moved supernaturally. People were saved, and I tell you what, he went over to Long Island, brother, my dear brother, and he tells the story of there at Long Island of the, you were invited over there, Trudy, was a business lady, and anyway, what happened, do you remember what you said in that book about what happened there? What, do you remember? You don't quite remember that, but let me tell you the story there. He was invited into a home, and these were wealthy people in this home, and so he didn't know how to, he's just an old farm boy. He didn't know how he's going to be received by these wealthy people, and so he just turned it over to Mother. And mother just opened up the wells of salvation to those wealthy people, and they were wealthy people there in Long Island, Brother Justin. And you want to say something about, do you remember that?
In our group was the president of the Telestar. And the president of the past, but president of the airport in New York.
President of the New York airport.
And so it goes on. And we ministered to them, and they all received salvation.
There were about 20 together, and they, Dad and Mother led them in a sinner's prayer, and they all received that salvation. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. I just inspired me. I said, you know, this is what it's all about, folks. You know, letting Jesus be Lord and Savior. See, if we want revival, Jesus, he will never have a revival outside, or we will never have a revival outside of knowing Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. And this is one thing that we here at Grace Chapel will help you understand and apply the kingdom principles of God's Word. And that's what we're here for, every last one of us. We believe that the basis of what we stand for here is, number one, biblical truth as the foundation, and Scripture informs us of all decisions. We must make sure that our life is biblically lined up in Jesus' name. Amen. We need to be authentic. Be real. Don't be something we put on. Even when it hurts, be real. Come on, be honest. The main problems we have is trying to cover up. You know, when someone wants to say, can I talk to you about something that I have problems with? And we say, yeah, talk into my mind. How many know we're here to perfect one another? How do we do it? Hey, if there's anything wrong in my life that you see, please tell me about it. Can we go there as a church? Well, I believe that's authentic believers. How many can say amen? And I believe that's where God's taking us. Serving leadership. Make it all about others, not about yourself. It's so important. And I just want to celebrate you all for that. Be a family. Love one another. You know. Oh, how good it is to love one another. Yeah. Love one another. Yeah. And be excellent. Continuous improvement. How many know? We all are being perfected. And the scripture tells us, Corinthians there tells us, perfect that which is lacking in one another. I was talking to a young man at 5:30 this morning I took to his job. because I love people, and I want to help people. You say, Pastor, you did? Yes. Because I see something in this young man that he really wants help, but he needs a father. And I have time to take him to work early in the morning to speak into his life. I tell you what, it's not just here in church, it's out there too. We need to be Johnny on the spot for Jesus. In Jesus' name. We sing that song, "Oh, Holy Ghost, come in with all your fullness, fill each part of me, till only Jesus shall be lifted up for this dark world to see. I hunger more to be like Jesus. As I journey on my way, I want more of Him and less of me." Let me say, we know that in the last days that we will be coming against for our stand for righteousness and holiness, you know. But the most of the trouble in the church is self. You look at next time you have problems with someone. You look at it. It's pride. So help us, Lord, in that too. We here at Grace Chapel will help you. And that's our home. We believe there is so much to this. So, knowing Jesus personally, that's where I want to go with you all today. Today is the day of salvation. I want to make sure, and I believe the Church of Jesus Christ needs to come back to the altars. All of us here need to come back to the altar and have that heart. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to do that here in closing here this morning here. Powerful living in knowing Jesus. We need to know our identity in Christ. We need to know the potential we have as we live the new creation life. I found a new way of living. Did you? I found a new life divine. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding. Where? In the vine. And that's John 15 there talks about abiding, and he said, I want you to abide in me so you bring forth much fruit. If you don't abide in me, because without me, you can do what? What? How much do we rely on the flesh and on other people and circumstances instead of relying on Him? In Jesus' name. This year, I want us to see, you know, that you will bring forth much fruit. You know, I have a new revelation, you know, not only that your tree produces fruit, but I want you to, this is a new orchard here. This is trees in the orchard. We want to see all of you, because the Bible tells us that we are the trees of the Lord, that He should be glorified. I love that. Did you know you're a tree? I don't have that scripture in verse, but I need to find that. It's in Psalms there. He said, you are the trees of the Lord that He might be glorified. And I want to make sure with the help of the Holy Spirit and we one another that we're going to have a lot of fruit hanging on us. How many can say amen? Not only just on my tree, but every one of your trees. This is Psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruits in his season. What is that scripture, Brother Ben? You're helping me preach this morning. Come on, brother. Put that back up there. I saw that. Oh, that was a different scripture. Okay. All right. Anyway, thank you, Ben, for going there. We're having fun today. Amen. In Jesus' name. I want your tree, and you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in his seasons. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Boy, does that sound pretty good, huh? Like a tree. Look at that just for a moment. Planted. Bring forth its fruit in its season. We have seasons of life. That means every season. I don't care what you go through. He wants you to bear fruit. In Jesus' name. Jesus. Put your hands out there and say, I'm going to bear fruit. Come on, I'm going to bear fruit. I'm going to bear fruit. Why not? The Holy Spirit is the power source of the Christian life, folks. We need the Holy Spirit. When we ask Jesus in our hearts, the Holy Spirit comes in. How many can say amen? And thank God, He fills us also. I believe daily we need to be baptized anew with the precious Holy Spirit. I'm asking God to do that, you know. For 1 Corinthians 2:11-12 says, "For who among men knows the thoughts of men except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God, that we may understand what God has freely given us." You can have an understanding by the Spirit of God that dwells in you, wisdom and understanding. And in Romans 8:9, you know, we need to realize the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Oh, hallelujah. Well, what does he say here? "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature." But what? "But by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not," what? "Belong." Okay. Now, this is very important for you to understand. If the Spirit of God lives in you. So that's a big question. You need to believe, when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, that the Spirit of God dwells in you. You are the dwelling place of God here on this earth. Dare we believe that? That's according to the Scriptures. Very important. The Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of sin and injustice. John 16:8. Very interesting. I'm helping you to understand what we are here as believers. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regards to sin and righteousness and judgment. And I believe that we need to, in this new year, allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. Search it. Very important. The Holy Spirit comes to lead you into truth, John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, look at this. Folks, what an opportunity you have 24/7. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, when you ask Jesus, he lives in your heart, the Spirit of truth dwells in you. The Spirit of truth dwells in me because I asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Let's say it together. The Spirit of truth dwells in me because I asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life. He will guide you into what? All truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will guide you. I am having, for this new year, I am having some of the most amazing times of my life. Now, as I went through this past year, you know, the transition, I said everything for this new year is transition, shift, and for acceleration. Transition, shift, for acceleration. And so we all been through transition. And I have been going through some physical challenge. I think I told most of you I was in the hospital and had to go to the ER because of my face got disfigured and that. And then so they put me in MRI, and to make sure that my head is okay, and found out that my head is okay. Come on, get this now. My hallelujah.
you know, thank God for medical science, you know, when I found out that they checked out my sight that had 20/20 vision. So I tell you what, when I get, going into this new year, man, and you say, wow, everything's okay. But no, get this. I'm just honest with you. I'm being authentic. Brother Bill, this morning I came down the steps and I fell at the bottom step, you know. And my knee, I said, God, can't believe this, a 71-year-old body. We got to watch ourselves. And so I bruised up my little knee and my seat a little bit too, you know. And I said, come on. I thought I got a clear mind and good eyesight. Lord, where am I? But the Lord is showing me that, Pastor, you better slow down. And Flo's been telling me that too. A lot of you guys have been telling me that too. So I'm there. I'm there. I'm there. Thank you. Thank you. And so, anyway, I'm just having a time in my life realizing that God really allowed that situation to know that my body is in good shape for this new year. But I cannot do what I did last year in trying to make everything happen. Thank God I have Bill and the deacons here to do it now. They can make everything happen. I'm serious about that. I'm serious about that. God is giving together a beautiful body of believers here, and I want to thank every one of you to where you're at. And so I'm there. And so he's there to guide us and to direct us. And so the Holy Spirit confirms your relationship with God. There's so much on these. The Holy Spirit is a source of Christ-like qualities. And, you know, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, I want you to know that there is three types of Christians. Let me help you a little bit. Three types of people. Number one, there is the natural person. You can write this down. This is good for you to understand. You have the natural person. The natural person is the one who have not trusted Christ in Christ's death to pay for their sins, and thus Christ does not live in them. Did you know that the majority of people you meet every day, Christ don't live in them? Gives you opportunity. I was over at Sam's Clubs. And I wanted to see, the Lord's been making this real to me. Do you know Jesus? I was at the information booth there at Sam's. Get this picture here. And that there weren't a lot of people around. I believe you need to use discretion. Nobody was there. There's usually a lot of people there. Here, there's two that are checking you out about your some questions. And I said, do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Yes. And we start sharing to one another. And we start having God moving right in Sam's. And then this other lady next to her saying, I said, we were talking about setting free from addictions and that, you know. And this other lady next to her said, well, I have problems with smoking. I need to get set free. And right there, we renounce the spirit of nicotine right there in Sam's. Get this picture. Right there in Sam's. And she asked Jesus to be the Lord of her life and destroy the spirit of nicotine right in Sam's. Hallelujah. And then guess what? Well, Rosemary and I had opportunity to go in there yesterday, and we met someone else. They said, oh, you're Pastor Mel. And we just started talking, and we had revival in Sam's. I couldn't believe it. She just shouting. She was praying in the Spirit right in the middle. Oh, I better watch myself. People saw that. You know, that is where the real McCoy works. Amen. I mean, if you know, wherever you are, let the Lord be himself. So the natural person, but the natural man receiveth not the things of God, but they are foolishness to him. 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us. Then you have the carnal person. Who's a carnal Christian? Well, the carnal person is those who have trusted Christ to pay for their sins, but who are trusting their own efforts to live their Christian life. Carnal refers to the flesh as opposed to the spirit. So a carnal Christian lives in the energy of the flesh and not in the power of the spirit. Too many of us are there. We're fleshly believers. We let the flesh control us. We let circumstances control us. Yet we love the Lord. And in the name of Jesus, we're going to renounce the spirit of flesh that it don't control us anymore. Amen? Oh, God, I tell you what. I am so thankful, and this is, I want to say this from the bottom of my heart, that my wife has stuck with me for 51 years because I operated a lot in the flesh. I'll admit to that, Rosemary. Thank you for putting up with my fleshly stuff. Amen? And so in Jesus' name. And so the Bible tells, and I, brethren, 1 Corinthians 3:1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, and neither yet now are you able. Oh. Yeah. It's time we grow up. Hey, let's grow up this year. You heard me say that. You know, I don't mind giving a baby a bottle. And incidentally, we have a new member of the congregation, Justice Vargas, here with us this morning. Let's give the Lord a hand for a new member in the church. Amen. She has her out there. So good, Justin, to see it. See your family all together. Four of you. My Lord. Hallelujah. You know, we don't mind giving a bottle to a baby, do we? No. But if we have to part the beard and still giving people the bottle, something's wrong. You got the message? Come on. The Lord showed me that. Hey, we have been serving, most of us here have been serving the Lord for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. We should be able to show the others how to do it right. Amen? This year we will, with the help of the Holy Spirit. We will, in Jesus' name. Then you have the spiritual person. What is a spiritual person? Those who have trusted Christ as their Savior and are trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life. 1 Corinthians 2 and 15. But he that is spiritual, oh, I love this, judges all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man or discerned. Why? The spiritual person has invited Christ into his or her life and has allowed him to take control through the Holy Spirit over everything and yields 24/7. To the Spirit's direction. That is freedom. And don't allow circumstances, people's attitudes, and situations to control them. It's high time this world sees a true believer in Jesus Christ. We have the privilege and the honor every day to show to everyone that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our lives. Is he? But we want to make sure before we leave this place that he is. And thank God for it. There's so much here. And let me just go. As I was going there and trying to discern exactly where we're at here and what we're doing. 1 Peter 2:11-12. Let me go there again. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the spirit. We have to deal with the flesh every day, folks. I want you to know. Peter brings this out. 12. Having your conversation, are your manner of living, that's what it's called, conversation is your manner of living, honest among the church people? No, among the heathen, Gentiles, the world. Having your manner of living honest among the heathen, the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, and it's going to mound up, you're going to see it, it's not going to get any easier. They may be by your good works. They can see. They know if you are a true believer or not. They can see it. Which they shall behold, glorifying God in the day of visitation. So, the inner spiritual renewal that needs to take place in this new birth. Let me go there. What happened when you asked Jesus to come into your heart? Why this world and why the church is not having the effect on the world, but the world is having more of the effect on the church, where we cannot get our young people to come to church? It's an epidemic. They're on this all the time. Okay, now you have to know how to reach them through this. But it is not getting any easier. The majority of people you meet every day do not have no biblical understanding of what God is all about. Or what church is all about. The majority of people you meet every day. And this is why I love to get out there to help people understand God better. And so when John 3, very interesting, 3 and 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What Jesus meant, that all people are in sinful, so sinful in God's eyes that they need to be regenerated. I want to look at that word, regenerated. Look there. Jesus answered, said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom. Why? I want to make sure that you help people to get saved. Okay, the next verse here. Very interesting. Look at that. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Stop there. I want each one of us to help us to understand the key issue of why we're here as a church. And I want us to know, according to this, without faith, there is no regeneration. Him that believeth must come to God. And so 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us there, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Or a generation of the Holy Spirit takes effect. Now, I want you to understand something here in regards to this. When you ask Jesus in your heart, what happens here? It's a new state of spirit or life in Christ. It's not your own life anymore. You have died. I'm dead. Colossians tells us there that I am dead and my life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, I love that. That's a double insulation. Hey, let's put your hand up there if you can with me to get this illustration. And I put your hand up there for instance. What that really means, my life is hid with Christ in God. Okay, here's your life. Your thumb is your life. Okay, now put it in there. And then my life is hid with Christ. And then put your other hand over there. You have, in Christ, you have double insulation against everything of the devil. Lord, help us to believe that. Very important. Very important. Therefore, Romans 6 tells us, therefore we are buried with him in baptism, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of God, even we should walk in newness of life. So, let me help you to understand what regenerate means. I went into the dictionary this morning, And this is what it means. Of a living organism to regrow new tissues to replace loss or injured tissue. Buckle your seatbelts and hang on just for a moment here, if you could. It's talking about of an organ of a body or a tissue to regrow. Look at this. Being into renewed existence or to be generated again. Now, bringing new and more vigorous life, especially in revival context, you know, something being revived. Now, to the Christian, what does this mean? It means to give a new and higher spiritual nature to. That's what it means. If any man be in Christ, he's a new, higher creature than ever he was. Give the Lord a hand. Come on. I have a new revelation going into this new year. Wow. Yeah, that is something. Now, Lord, help me to close this out. Let's turn to Revelations, the third chapter. And this is where God was speaking to the churches and challenging them of where they were at. And here in chapter 3 and verse 1, he's saying, unto the church, angel of the church of Sardis, write these things, saith he, that has a seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works. Okay, Revelation 3. Thou hast a name that thou livest. You're alive. But you are dead. Be watchful. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. He's giving us a picture of the church today, folks. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. Searchlight. Surprised inspection on the church of Jesus Christ. If thou shalt not watch, I will come as a thief. I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. There's a few people that are righteous and holy. And he's acknowledging this church. And they shall walk with me in white. Oh, I love that. The Revelations goes on to tell him the white raiment is the righteousness of the saints. Doing right. I want us to dress with a white robe, a white robe, when we leave this place, spiritually speaking, today. We're gonna walk in righteousness and holiness. That you are dressed with a new robe. For thou art worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with a white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before the Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I know thy works. We can't hide anything from God, folks. He knows exactly where you're at. Surprise inspection for this new year. Thou hast a name that thou wast living by, but you're dead. Wow. That church at Sardis, that's when you go into history there, it's the Turkey area. It was the metropolitan of that known day. They were a flourishing church, and God didn't move. And I don't have time to go into all the history, but when you punch up Sardis, it's located in modern sort in Turkey. It's the capital of the ancient kingdom of Lydia, one of the important cities of the Persian Empire. It was the seat of the Roman Empire. And it was an amazing city that God did move in. But it was a dying church that he had to come against. So what do we have to do? His admonishment is be watchful. Watch. Know your situation. Be alert. Be awake. Understand the times you're living in. Be watchful. Don't be lazy anymore. Be more passionate for the things of God. That's what he's talking about. Watch. Watch. Strengthen the things which remain. Strengthen the little stuff. Begin to see God moving and just strengthen that. Strengthen the areas in our lives and in our ministry that remain. And let the Holy Spirit breathe again on it. Hallelujah. Encourage one another as we see the day approach. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Let's realize. Help. We need God, okay? That's all of us today say, God, I need you. I need you. I need you with my family. I need you with my wife. I need you with my husband. I need you, Lord. I can't do it anymore. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. And remember the pathway back to repentance. You were there at one time. Now come on back. And so, I want you to know that sometime we drift away. So are you ready this morning for the inspection of Jesus in your life? Very, very important. Now, to go there, let me just help you to understand as we bring this to a close and we just get on our knees here today. Let me give you the church at Ephesus in Revelations 2, 4, and 5. We have the challenge to them. They left their first love. Okay? Here are areas that you know if you left your first love. My delight, I left my first love. If my delight in the Lord is no longer as great as my delight in someone else. I have left my first love. If my soul does not long for times of fellowship with God and His Word and in prayer, I have left my first love. I have left my first love. If my thoughts during the leisure moments do not reflect upon the Lord, I left my first love. If I do not willingly and cheerfully give to God's work or to the needs of others, I left my first love. If I cease to treat every Christian brother and sister as I would the Lord, I left my first love. If I view the commandments of Christ as restrictions to my happiness, rather than an expression of His love, I left my first love. If I inwardly strive for the acclaim of this world rather than the approval of the Lord, I left my first love. If I fail to make Christ are His Word known because I fear rejection. I left my first love.
If I refuse to give up an activity which I know is offending my weaker brother or sister, I left my first love. If I become complacent to sinful conditions around me, I left my first love. If I am unable to forgive another person for offending me. Wow. Inspection time. For us to see one of the most amazing things happen this year. I believe we're all here. Now, would you get out the paper that's in your bulletin? The Lord told me to do this, to bring all of us this morning back to the foot of the cross. The cross is all level at the foot. All right? Every one of us. The burden and the cry of my heart for 2020 is that each one of us will know that we are born again. The Lord has been impressing on my heart that every one of us daily should confess Him as the Lord of our lives and our need for Him. You can have real and lasting peace today through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Beautiful relationship. I want us to start this for the new year. And I want you to use this everywhere you go. I'll make a bunch of copies to give out to people. I want you not to have an excuse not to lead someone to the Lord. They're all around you. One of the simplest plans here is start with number one. Let's do it personally for ourselves, first of all, here. Step one is that I want every one of you here to know that God loves you and He has a wonderful plan for your life. He does. The Bible says, let's read it together. Altogether, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Then Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, a complete life full of purpose. John 10:10. All right? You need to know that there's someone that wants you to experience life to the fullest. In Him is life. Light in the light is the light of man. Now, there's a problem, though. There's a big problem. Man is sinful, and you are separated from God because of your sins. And let me just go there just for a moment. Do you know, I believe that we can be eternally secure in Him. I do believe that. But I do believe that you can have God's presence draw away from you because of you going your own way. Then there's scripture on that too. That He... Because you're not following Him the way you should. So man is sinful, separated from God. And so we have all done, thought and said bad things, which the Bible calls sin. Sin. Sin is something that is contrary to the ways of godliness. There's sins of omission and there's sins of commission. The sins of omission is when He tells you to do something and you don't do it.
then you need to ask Him to forgive you. And God is using so many of us in this area. And that's very important. The Bible says, let's read all together, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So the results of sin is death and separation from God. Oh, really? Yeah. But the good news is, how many can say amen? See, you need to let people, you give people, and the Lord will guide you in this, you know. And God sent His Son to die for your sins. And so Jesus paid in our place so we could have a relationship with God and be with Him forever. Think about that. See, we need to give ourselves to that in Jesus' name. Let's read it, Romans 5. God demonstrated His own love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All right? And then 1 Corinthians, let's read that. But it did not end with His death on the cross. He rose again and still lives. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and He raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And so John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Him. And so we thank God for being able to be restored again to the Creator of the universe by accepting Jesus in our hearts. Turn over there. So would you like to receive God's forgiveness? So my question to you, each one of you today, we all know that we have fallen short of God's glory in this place. Come on, let's say amen. Amen to that. We all know we have. So would you like to redo your commitment to Him this morning and ask Him? We can't earn salvation. We are saved by God's grace when we have faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. All you have to do is to believe you are a sinner, that Christ died for your sins and asked His forgiveness. Turn you from your sins. That is called repentance. Jesus Christ knows you and loves you. And what matters to Him is the attitude of your heart, your honesty. We suggest praying the following prayer to accept Jesus into your heart. Now, let's read this, 1 John 1:9. And that was written to Christians, I want you to know, right there. 1 John 1:9. Let's read it together. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, make an altar at your seat. And I just want you to ask the Lord, first of all, is there areas in my life that you would like me to surrender over to you? Okay? We're all in the same place here today. And we're going to just wait. So make an attitude of your heart or just kneel over the altar and let's just close our eyes and just simply ask Him now, Lord, will You search me today? You know my heart. Is there any wicked way in me? Will You show me any selfish ways, any carnal ways, any fleshly ways? Will You show us now, Lord? Put Your searchlight on our hearts. Do some spiritual surgery in Jesus' name.